You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The television landscape in New Zealand is changing faster and faster every year. For more than 40 years, journalists have been writing about the convergence of our media, and it seems we've reached peak with internet and television becoming one. With the Sky and Vodafone merger appeal being withdrawn from the High Court recently, it seems an impending monopoly of television in New Zealand has been put on hold for now. I had a talk with news and technology writer Bill Bennett about whether this is the case and just about the state of New Zealand television in 2017. You've talked about a digital revolution in terms of media convergence. What do you mean by this?
I've been writing about technology for a long, long time, and I can go back all the way to the early 1980s when we started talking about various forms of media converging, and by that we meant pretty much going digital. So first of all, it was you could digitize images and music and so on, and then at some point you could digitize video, which is pretty much the same thing as TV. Now that all happened quite early on, but they still stayed as very separate types of information. I mean, particularly television stayed very separate from the digital world until, I don't know, probably about sort of 10 years ago, it started becoming practical to distribute movies and TV across the internet. And that was really because there was enough bandwidth to do so. If you think back to the early days of the internet, you could do things like download music from programs like Napster and so on. You could do that quite early on. But that's because a music file is only a couple of megs of data, whereas a movie is usually about a gigabyte of data. When you had dial-up networks, you could download a song in perhaps 20 minutes, half an hour or so on, but to download a movie, you'd have to be connected to dial-up for a couple of days non-stop. And of course, the dial-up connection rarely lasts a couple of days non-stop before it gets disconnected. So it just wasn't practical to download movies at that point. Then later on, it became possible to download movies because we had faster broadband, first with ADSL, then the various upgrades to ADSL, then VDSL, and now, of course, fiber. And you can even do it with wireless, because wireless is fast enough now to download videos. And then, of course, once you could do that, you could also stream videos, which is different in that the video comes as a stream, you know, so you watch it live coming across the net rather than downloading a file in advance. But we had to have really fast networks for TV to become a viable thing across the across the internet. So although the technology was there for the convergence, it wasn't practical because it was just, the networks were just too slow to cope. But they've been faster to cope now for getting on for 10 years.
So how is the industry responding to this?
Well, it's a complex web of things. But what's really happened is the incumbent TV companies, and in New Zealand that would be TVNZ and the people behind TV3 and Channel 4. Those incumbent providers, they've not really moved very much until now. I mean, TVNZ has just recently started to move quite a bit. They've had on-demand services and so on for quite a while now, but they're still dependent on their traditional TV products for their main income. I mean, TVNZ,
traditional sort of advertising model.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, breaking the show for an ad break and ad breaks between shows and so on. That's been very much the model. Sky's a bit different because it's a subscription model, but they also show ads. I mean, very controversially, they showed ads in the middle of just after the Hacker in the Test match last week, which was what people who pay for subscription television don't actually expect to get in their paid-for feed, because one of the reasons you pay, of course, is to avoid having to watch advertisements. But in general, those two models are quite distinct, and it's the pay-per-view model which seems to be taking over globally now. And the classic example of that, of course, is Netflix, where you pay so much a month and you get unlimited you know, all you can eat Netflix. I think it's $15 now a month, and you don't have to put up with advertising and so on. And that $15 a month, when you've got enough subscribers globally, pays for all the content to the point where Netflix is actually now one of the big studios as well as a distributor. So they make their own shows specifically for their own channel. Now, that wasn't really a huge threat to the ordinary broadcasters until the fiber networks went in. I mean, you can watch Netflix quite well on a copper line, but it just works so much better with fiber. And it's really taken off in the last 2, maybe 3 years in New Zealand, to the point where I think as many as half of all New Zealanders now watch some kind of streaming. TV feed regularly, and that's around about the same number of people who watch more conventional TV these days. So
how have those conventional television mediums how have they responded to that?
Well, that's what's just happened with TVNZ. TVNZ has had a on-demand service where you can get streaming shows and so on for some time, but they've really upped their game in the last. In the last wee while, and now they're putting a lot more content on there. The content is on there for longer, and they're putting it there on at a higher quality as well. So they've upped their game hugely. But what they haven't done, what they're doing with their new service is that you now have to sit through ads before you can actually watch the TV.
So is it essentially a live stream of what is exactly being broadcast on the television?
It's on demand. It's on demand. Right. But there's so many seconds of ads before you actually get to the content.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the same advertising model that they've had forever, but this time it just applies to the on demand world. So,
but do you think that that's effective?
Is it effective for them as a way of raising money? It's the only way they can get money out of it, really. I mean, they could move to a subscription model. But the problem for a broadcaster like TVNZ is Netflix is global. So when you've got literally hundreds of millions of people worldwide paying $15 a month, that's a lot of money. There's what, maybe 1 million households in New Zealand who could potentially pay money every month. So let's just say that all of those million people in all those million households in New Zealand were to buy a TVN subscription for $15 a month. That means TVNZ has $15 million a month of revenue. That's probably not enough to cover its costs and the costs of getting the content together and so on. And that's the problem. TVNZ is a minnow, and it doesn't really have the scale. You need a huge amount of scale to make the pay-per-view idea work. And Sky gets there because its subscription is a lot more than $15 a month.
So with the Sky and Vodafone merger, that we're seeing a different type of convergence here. What? I mean, it was denied, but do they still have a working relationship? How is that working now?
Oh, they have very much of a working relationship. I mean, in fact, just about everything they were going to do had they merged is coming about one way or another. So, I mean, it's no accident that around about the same time this all happened, Vodafone started sponsoring the All Blacks. Hmm. Because one of the things it is understood and spoken about, but it's probably not spoken about enough, is that everything depends on sports programming. The thing about sports is that you can only has value when a game is live. People will watch a game afterwards. I mean, there's the you can watch the delayed coverage of most games on free-to-air television anyway. People do that, but people are actually prepared to pay a decent whack of money to get the game live. And that's what's valuable about it. In a way, sports is like a consumable, like say milk in a dairy, which goes off very quickly. You know, it goes stale very fast. And old milk is worth nothing. Well, old sport is not worth a lot either. And so, sport would probably account for the bulk of Sky's revenue, and it's the bulk of that business model. That's
also the reason why the Commerce Commission turned it down, because they feared that had Vodafone merged with Sky and decided to start getting monopolistic, it could be that the only way you could watch, say, an All Blacks test match would be to have be a Vodafone broadband customer, and that would quite quickly wipe out the other broadband companies. So that was the fear that the Commerce Commission had. The irony is that there's nothing to stop Sky and Vodafone having exactly the same exclusive arrangement if they're separate companies. In fact, they're more able to do it if they're separate companies in some ways, because it becomes a contractual thing between them. So now, I'm not saying that is about to happen, but I'm saying it conceivably could happen.
So in terms of the future of New Zealand television, do you think it's a bright one? Do you think we're just going to be trying to catch up on these internet trends of the sort of Netflix model? Well, what do you think's next?
Yeah, look, I think two things. I think first off is we're always going to need, there's always going to need to be a New Zealand voice. We'll need to watch our own shows with our own stories and our own people. That's always going to need to be the case. But we don't need so many channels. I mean, when you take into account the four big commercial channels plus Prime plus plus Māori TV, that's what, six channels. We probably can get away with, I don't know, maybe two commercial channels long term. And I think that's one of the areas that you'll see some changes, that you'll probably see a little less diversity in our own local output. But there might be a case. In fact, there's a strong case for some kind of public ownership channel as well, like the BBC or NPR in the US or ABC in Australia. There's always been some talk about that, but it's starting to become a little bit more necessary perhaps than it would have been in the past, because if we don't do something like that, we may completely lose our own voice in terms of television.
Rewire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.